If you've got a Bible, why don't you open it up to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. I'm going to read this passage. It's about 14 verses, so hang in there. Read along with me if you want. The words will be up on the back behind me, or you can read it in your own Bible. Now, Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Now listen to this king's response. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." Great to have that guy as your king, right? When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, far better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Now imagine if that was the end of the story. That would have just been another opportunity for a miracle that was missed. Verse 13, I love Naaman's servants bold enough to go back. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept the gift from your servant." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that when we open your word, we are in direct communion with you. That you are the word, Lord Jesus. And as we read this word, Lord, let it change us. Let it impact us. Lord, would the scales fall off our eyes? Would the doubt and unbelief drop to the ground as you would speak to us about what you want to do in our lives and in the lives of those that we love? In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to share a message called Miracles in Muddy Water. Have you ever faced a situation where God asks you to do something that doesn't make sense? You get that sense, that impression that maybe God is in something, but you logically line everything up and you say, "I don't think so." I remember once being at a pastor's conference and we were worshiping, and I was about 8 rows back, and I saw someone who I knew, but I didn't really know well. I knew of, and he probably didn't know me, but I kind of knew of him, about 3 rows in front of me. And as we're worshiping, I get the strong impression that God wants me to go and tell him something. Now, I suggested that God could probably do that himself. He says, "I'd like to use you, if that's okay." And so I'm left with this dilemma of trying to intensely worship God while being completely disobedient to what he's asking me to do. How many people know that God won that one? After about the 3rd song of disobedience, there was a break, a little pause, and I wandered up to him and I said, "Look, I know you don't know me very well, but I just really felt, and what God had given me was, it wasn't anything magnificent. In fact, it was quite small. Little word for those of us operating the prophetic grace, just say what's there. Don't need to add any more to it. Just what is on us. And I felt like God was saying, say to him, I'm pleased that you are still connected to the vine. I'm going, ooh, that could come across as quite judgmental. Here I am getting in on his business. But I went up. I just said, look, kia ora, bro. That's what you say in New Zealand, kia ora, bro. I said, I just want to encourage you with a word that I feel God wants to give to you. He's thankful that you're still connected to the vine. He looked at me and then just burst into tears, started sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And I was thinking, I hope those are good tears. They were, because he went away. We were back again that evening, and he reached out to me and he says, can I connect with you? Because God's been speaking to me about you all afternoon. And I went, okay. So in about 12, 15 minutes, he prophesied over Amy and I. And I remember having such a sense that God was in this that I actually asked if I could record that prophecy that he was about to speak. As we listened back to that prophecy, half of it just made complete and total sense. The other half did not. So this is going back about 2 years, maybe 2.5 years. And part of that prophecy was, you're ready, but on the other side, they're not. That's 2.5 years back when Mark was not ready to be GS, but God was preparing him. In my simple step of obedience to give a word, God unlocked a word that became what Amy and I walked through over the next 18 months, which eventually led us to being here. See, one step of obedience can unlock miracles in other people's lives as well. That moment God spoke to me, I had a choice. I could ignore it or step out in these muddy waters where I couldn't quite see everything and do something about it. In 2 Kings 5, we encounter a man, Naaman, a man of great status, forced to lay aside his pride and to go after something that doesn't quite seem logical. His healing came through these muddy waters. In many ways, a little bit of a picture of how God sometimes operates in our life. How many people feel like God is always very clear in what he shows you? Anyone? How many people find that it sometimes feels a little bit muddy, or it feels like blurry glasses sometimes, like it hasn't quite made sense, and then one day it does? I just think of the way God operates right throughout the Bible. Free the slaves, get them out from Pharaoh's army and park them right by the Red Sea, where they're all going to die, right? In fact, they said, we would be better back in Egypt. God says, I'll show you. Parts the sea. Don't have any food to eat. That's all right, I've got you covered. Got quail, got manna. We're thirsty. There's some water out of a rock. Doesn't make sense, but steps of obedience led to these miracles taking place. How about Jesus? He wasn't really conventional, was he? Rabbi, I want to see. Now, if I'm the blind guy, I'm going, oh dear, what just happened there? He spits, makes mud, and puts it on the man's eyes, and he can see. Now, that just doesn't make sense. Anytime I've dived in the mud playing football, I'm coming up, I can't see a thing. Right? I've got mud in my eyes for the rest of the football match. But this is what Jesus does. Unconventional, doesn't make sense sometimes, and yet he operated that way. What about the woman at the well? He kind of insults her. He says, I know all the men you've been with. Well, the woman that was begging for a miracle, and he almost says, you're a dog begging for crumbs at the table. Rude, it felt like. But he spoke with an authority. My favorite one of Jesus was when he didn't turn up on time to heal Lazarus. It's like, I'll let him die. Because there's greater purpose in him dying than living. Yeah, right? I mean, I'm just saying that the way I read it, Jesus says, no, he'll be fine. No, he's dead. But then he raises his hands to heaven. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this so that the world would see the power of God to raise dead things to life. I want to look at two things from this passage that are essential if we want to see the purposes of God fulfilled in our life. That we would open our lives to the possibility of the miraculous. I think too many times in my life I've said, God, I don't think you need to do a miracle there because maybe I don't have faith to believe for it. Or maybe I've prayed and it didn't happen. It certainly didn't happen the way I wanted it to or in the moment I wanted it to. And so my natural reaction is to kind of let God off, so to speak, as though we need to do that. We don't. There is a faith element in our walk with him that is so important. It's that inner knowing that God is wanting us to do something, to act, to follow through, to say something, to believe something. Faith, it's the things we don't see, but we have a confident assurance that it's going to happen. Naaman was a powerful commander, a respected man. His first thought this morning is we need to have faith, trusting God beyond what makes sense. There's the things I understand, and then there's that faith zone. I've always thought faith exists not in the 80% we know, but in the 20 we don't. You know, because if I already know it, if I can already create it, if I have the resources to make it happen, I wonder if it's really a miracle or is it just, I've just been really effective with my stewardship. But faith sits in that space that I don't have the answers. Now my APS Graces teacher, around apostolic teacher, kind of I'm operating probably more in the teacher space at the moment. Now, we teachers, we like details, right? How many teachers like the detail? You want to go into a lesson plan prepared. So when God says, just turn up, every teacher goes, not a chance. Now, I'm not excusing laziness, okay? Because I know one pastor, he said to me, I've got a three-step method where I walk towards the pulpit, one, two, three, and then I'll preach whatever God puts in my heart. I wouldn't recommend that at all. Preparation is important, but sometimes God says there's steps that I'm not going to give you because I want some of these steps to be in faith. Faith, trusting God beyond what makes sense. I love that God uses a child in the story. I was very fascinated when a child appears in the narrative of the Word. It's a reminder that God is a God of all generations, that the youngest to the oldest have a part to play. But I love this. Now, bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. What a tragic story that a child would be taken in captivity. What a horrible story. What a horrible God that must be. Well, does God take the horrible situations? Does God take a moment where we would want to blame him for something and he actually turns that around and he turns it into something great? Listen to this. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who was in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. At the moment, our children are beginning a brand new series called Hearing from God. We are believing over these next 3 weeks that children are going to get a word from God for themselves, for their peers. We're believing that some of these words are going to come back into this place and speak to us as adults to receive the word that God wants to speak through his children. Children carry faith for miracles. We've been doing our all-ages prayer once a month, and we had a missions night where we put all of these names of missionaries and profiles of missionaries right around the church, and we went on a treasure hunt. And the deal was you couldn't be with somebody of the same generation as yourself. So you had to find someone older, younger. You just couldn't hang around with somebody your same age. And so I saw my boy Josiah. He was walking around with Don Edmonds. They were charging around all these different places. And when we got to these missionary profiles, we asked God, are you wanting to say anything to these missionaries serving in these nations across the world? And then we'd write it down, write it down. And then Roger Rowland took all of those words, sent them off to the missions team at headquarters, Elam headquarters, and all of those words were distributed to all of the missionaries around the world. The feedback that we've received and still receive, multiple missionaries coming back saying that word landed right when I needed it. When I was at that moment of wanting to quit, I just, thank you. Come on, children can carry something. We need to release the voice of our children to speak into our lives. When Naaman finally sought help from Elisha, he was expecting a dramatic something to happen. Something that would be appropriately fitting for his status. Come and stand out there and wave your hand over me. And that's not what happened. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Naaman's pride and logic clashed with the command. Anyone's pride and logic ever clashed with something in faith that rises up? I like to logic my way through things, try and make sense of them before I step. God says, no, just step. That's why when we found out that Mark had received enough votes to become the GS, I handed him my resignation. I sent it to Steve, who we had last week. I said, sorry, I quit. Well, not quite as harsh as that, but we stepped out even before any formal job offer had been made and accepted and visas and all of that kind of stuff. But there was something in me said, you've got to step. Step into the unknown, not step into what you know or what's comfortable or what you can see, but step into that unknown space. And the journey for Amy and I over these last 9 months, 10 months, I think we've been here, has been this journey of stepping continually into places of faith and trust in God. Taking the skills and the understanding and the knowledge, the things that God's built in our lives, but then stepping into new spaces. And I believe as a church, we are in this building because we are stepping into new spaces. God is asking us to occupy new spaces in the city. There's a reason we're here together. And we don't know how long we'll be here. It might be another few months. It might be another few years. But there is something about that step of faith. Let's take a risk. But it stirs within us that faith in us. Naaman's pride and logic clashed with the command. He argues, are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Have we ever missed a moment? Didn't make sense because we got a little bit offended with God or with somebody else. It's like, it didn't happen the way I hoped it would or should, and that person did this, and so therefore I'll just throw my hands up in the air and walk away. How many people walk away and leave church communities and life groups and friendships and relationships in a bit of a rage when actually God might have been stirring something, touching something? If there's something, an issue in my life, you can guarantee that God will bring somebody along my way to poke it a little bit. Just a little poke. It's like, no, I've dealt with that. Oh, hello. Who are you? I remember you. You know, different name, different face, but the same thing that pokes at me until I say, God, I surrender that. A daily God, I surrender again. All of my ideas, all of my thoughts, all the things that I want to control, I surrender that to you. We ever missed a moment because it didn't make sense. Friends, the invitation is here today. Let's dip again. Let's dip again. I remember in New Zealand one evening, I just finished up football and the normal route home was that way. And I just got this sense, this impression that I was supposed to go a different way. It was a longer way. Now, I don't normally get led like this, but there was just this. I'd woken up that morning and I said, God, whatever you need me to do, I'm available. Can I tell you that's a dangerous but a really exciting prayer to pray? You should try it tomorrow, see how you go. And I just felt to go that way rather than that way. So I'm driving and my eyes are open spiritually, physically. My eyes were open while I was driving. You'll be thankful to know. And as I'm driving, I see something in the rearview mirror. It's like this little flash. It's like just on twilight. This little flash and I'm like, oh, I wonder what that is. So I've already driven past it. Now, normally I just drive right on, but because my spirit was aware of something, I turned the car around. It was a big open road. And I came back and I saw this guy lying in the ditch with a bicycle and a six-pack of something that wasn't orange juice. And he's kind of stumbling to his feet, picking the bike back up. I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, yeah, just heading home. I said, how far away is home? He said, oh, about 10K. I said, you're planning to try and get home on your bike, are you? He goes, yeah, I'll be right. As he slurs and hops back on his bike again. And I said, you know what? How about I give you a ride home? He goes, oh, that'll be choice, bro. So grab the bike, put the bike in. He came in fully intoxicated, filled the room, my car, with a wonderful aroma. We drove home and it was an interesting old conversation for the next 10K. Completely opposite direction to where I was going, okay? Yeah, just saying. Sometimes we got to allow a little bit of margin in our lives for those interruptions. Unfortunately, I had margin in that day. I didn't lead him to the Lord. I had like 10 minutes, so I just went as hard as I could. I just gave everything. I gave him a story, my testimony that God told me, and we just went for it. He thanked me, never saw him again. I don't know what happened, but maybe I saved his life. Maybe he didn't get back on that bike and then get hit by a lorry. Didn't make sense in the moment, but I'm so thankful that I was just obedient to that. Here's the lesson. Faith begins when understanding ends. Sometimes God doesn't give us a plan that makes sense. He gives us the command that will require trust and faith in him. So a couple of questions for us. Are we willing to let God be God even when his methods don't fit our expectations? Anyone signing up for that one? Good. Brilliant. What about this one? Do we believe that muddy water can be miraculous when God is involved? I think so. So we're talking about faith was the first thing, trusting beyond what makes sense. The second thing, and if the team can join me now, the second thing is obedience, the path to the miracle. It's one thing to have the faith internally, but obedience is the walking out of that. I can have a sense or an impression that God wants to do something, but more often than not, it's going to require me to do something physical in order to see that miracle take place. Faith is internal. Obedience tends to be external. It's an outworking of that. So we can believe that God is able, but the miracle happens when we step. We can even sit here and amen a preacher. Great word, great message. Love this. So applicable to my life. And then God says, now, could you go ahead and do that? Imagine if God is setting up 300 or 400 assignments right now. He's got some appointments that we're supposed to turn up to over the next week. Or if we closed our diary and said, sorry, all full. Come on, can we open a little bit of space in our diary this week for the miraculous? And I find sometimes it's easier to believe for somebody else's miracle than it is for mine. So if you're struggling to believe for your own, just believe for someone else's. It won't be a bad thing, I promise you. But would we allow some margin this week? And would we pray a dangerous prayer that might say, God, I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm available. Please use me. Now some of you are like, can he stop talking? Because that's going to get really uncomfortable. I think we've got to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, it's not the British way. Let's do it the Kiwi way. She'll be right, mate. You'll be okay. You'll be okay if you step out in faith. You'll be okay if you step out into a space that doesn't make sense in the now. But we can trust God that he wants to use us. What a beautiful invitation. God is all powerful. He could do it all, but he says, I want to do it with you. I want to be in partnership with my people. my children, my sons and daughters. Let's walk in the miraculous. Let's wade through those muddy waters to see the miraculous take place. Can you imagine how foolish Naaman would have felt dipping into that dirty old river? It's not like the beaches back home. It's true obedience isn't about seeing results. It's about trusting the one who gave the instructions. To walk in obedience is the greatest service we can give to the Lord. There'll be a moment where we'll stand before Him, give an account of our lives. I don't know how it's going to be played out. There's a big jumbotron screen up the back. These are all the things that Mike did and the things he shouldn't have done. And I don't believe it'll be that. But I think there's going to be a moment where I'm standing before God. I wonder if he'll ask, where's your family, Mike? Are they here with you? Did you lead them? Did you disciple them? Did you bring them on that journey? And then, what did you do with that thing that I gave you? That one talent, did you carry that? Did you sow that? Did you invest that? And we long for one response, just one response. Well done, good and faithful servant. Friends, today there is an invitation from God to step into muddy waters, to see something that God wants us to see. And it might not be clear to begin with, but God is asking us to step like Naaman in faith. Sometimes God's instructions can look foolish, but it could be the very thing that leads to the breakthrough in your life or someone else's life. How do we know if God's in it? How can we be sure? Well, I don't know if we can be 100% sure. But I think early on in my faith journey, I wanted to step in with confidence into these moments rather than doubting myself and wondering whether it's God or whether I was just thinking it. And, you know, was that really God that spoke to me, or was that just my idea? So I created a little filter that just, I kind of passed these decisions through, and it just moves very quickly through my mind. But as I'm going, that seems a bit strange and weird, God. I then go through these three thoughts. If I do this, is it in line with God's word? So is this something God would agree with, and He does agree with in His word? I just pass it through that. Will it help someone? Might it set them free? Bring hope or healing? Okay, right. Ticks that box. Then this is an important one. Who gets the glory? Because I think sometimes our flesh can creep in and we can make the miraculous about ourselves, where we get the glory and we become the headline of the story. But if our purpose for doing this thing, praying for this person, sharing the gospel, bringing hope, giving a gift, helping somebody, mowing somebody's lawn, whatever it is, if our purpose is that God would get the glory, then I reckon you should just go for a dip. I think you should just go for it. I think you should take a chance that you're 9% accurate. That there's a good chance that this is God wanting you to go into somebody's life and bring hope and healing and breakthrough. So if you can just quickly pass it through that filter, you realize actually I can step with confidence and boldness into this. Some of us are waiting for a miracle, but resisting the method. Naaman's healing came not because of his perfect understanding, but because of a surrendered obedience. You know, it's my prayer today, God, I'm here. I'm listening. Surrendered to you. I recognize my holiness is not because of my works or my efforts, but the finished work of the cross. Jesus who died and was raised to life. Because of that, I have life and I have freedom and I have forgiveness. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, and I wonder if there's some people that need to dip again. Because I think also we quit a little bit too soon. We go, I've prayed, it didn't happen. Come, we've got to dip again. That healing that hasn't happened, we go again. Because remember, it's about the obedience of walking out in faith. It's not even necessarily the outcome and whether that healing comes, but am I stepping in obedience? Build some muscles in us. Faith and obedience together, God will use that. And maybe there's a delay because there's a battle that you will fight in your future that needs that spiritual strength to push into. Father, we thank you. You are here with us today. We thank you for the story of Naaman, who didn't like the way it was being presented. But Father, we thank you for those around him and ultimately the decision he made to step into the unknown, to step into that thing that seemed unclear, to see the miracle. Father, I pray that here today, those that have dipped once, dipped twice, given it a try, believe they were hearing and listening to you, but it didn't come through. Father, I pray that faith would rise. Lord, if this is of you, that faith in this moment would stir within them. That there's something stirring right now in you, saying, I've tried, I've been, I've done all the things, but God is stirring you again to go. I pray that even as we sing the song, that that faith would turn to action. And as we stand to sing this song, would you talk to the person beside you? Allow them to pray with you? Or maybe actually you need to get up out of your seat and come down the front and make a bold declaration, I am gonna go again. I'm gonna step again. So church, would you stand right now in this moment? You lift your hands to heaven, this act of surrender that says, God, I'm under your will, for your purpose, for your glory. Would you just ask the question, God, what would you like me to do in this moment? And it might not be anything. Maybe God's just going to say, do you just enjoy my presence right now in this moment? Take your focus off all those other things and just focus on me. Maybe for others, you need to forgive someone, let somebody go who's hurt you. Maybe for others, you need prayer for a miracle and you're going to ask someone right now to pray for you. Others, you need a breakthrough in a relationship and God is saying, will you go again? Will you step again? Will you dip again and trust me? So as we sing the song, would you allow the ministry of the Holy Spirit to speak to you? Would you respond accordingly? Because God can do the miraculous in those muddy waters. With faith and obedience we step. In Jesus' name, amen.